Hello, everyone. Welcome to Three Essential Questions, New Mexico's business and nonprofit podcast. I'm your host, Pam Myers, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, the always fabulous Erica Yoakum. And our guest today is Kim Brown. Kim is the CEO with Girls Inc. of Santa Fe. Thanks for joining us, Kim.
Hey, thank you for having me on. This is great. Thank you for doing the podcast to support businesses. That's wonderful.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Yeah, we're delighted to be here. Share with our listeners what the mission is of Girls Inc. of Santa Fe.
Well, our tagline and mission is inspiring all girls to be strong, smart, and bold. But really, really think about that as healthy, educated, and independent. And we just teach all those skills that they're not getting at school. So we teach like all the soft skills, managing their money, STEAM-based programming, healthy sexuality, economic literacy. There's all kinds of things that we do, substance abuse prevention, an outdoor adventure program. So all of the things and soft skills that they're not necessarily getting at school. That's kind of what we do.
Amen. Yeah. When I was in high school, like I literally was given a checkbook with no explanation as to how the bills that worked. And I thought, you know, I got checks, I got money, right?
How'd that turn out for you?
really bad.
See, I was
that,
the first.
And getting my first credit card at the ripe old age of 20, shortly, like a week later, the rainbow vacuum cleaner salesman showed up at my front door. So that's what I bought with my newly minted credit
card.
But
so funny.
I grew up in financial literacy, illiteracy, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me
I think
too.
That is so important.
Yeah, me too. And I actually
I'm still paying that price.
Actually, I was the first in my family to go to college. And, you know, they at that time, they were doing those tabling events where they had the credit card companies come and try to get all the college students to sign up. So that was not very good for me at that age. So,
wow.
Yeah. Because very few.
Yeah, they don't explain it's not free money.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we do a whole economic literacy program and we serve girls 5 to 18. So, of course, what they're learning at age 5 is what's the value of a dollar? How do you add up money? But they also talk about like needs versus wants, right? Like what is need versus want? We go into how you can give back to community as they get older. They budget and they do budgets. Mm-hmm. We do a whole program where they plan a whole business and they have to do the budget for it, all the materials, and then they then sold their product and then they donated it to a women's shelter here in Santa Fe. So that was really cool.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Very important. Oh, for boys and girls, but girls definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I always got, I got left over with the, well, you're the girl, you pay all the bills. Every relationship I've ever been in, I've been the one to make the appointments and pay the bills. And, you know, take care of all that mental load. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with a mom that was, you know, writing checks between banks to make sure that, you know, you could pay the bills. You know, she had multiple banks so that she could make that paycheck. And this is what it took like 7 days for a check to clear.
Yeah.
Right. She had the whole system down just to keep us afloat. And I think I've done better than that, but. Not by a huge margin, you know? So it's great that you guys are done. Who said this is lacking and we need to start this? How did that get started?
You know, we've been around since 1955 here in Santa Fe.
Wow.
It used to be the Girls Clubs and then became Girls Incorporated in the early 90s when the boys clubs became the boys and girls clubs, right? So we're actually an affiliate of a national organization and they first started economic literacy programs, I think in like 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are our own nonprofit here in Santa Fe. We raise all of our money. We have our own board and we are a member of that organization, but they The benefit of that is we get this research evidence-based programming that's all about doing an activity, but then applying that activity to your daily life. So they developed those programs over 25 years ago, which is pretty remarkable. And it's called economic literacy because it's not just about finance. It's also about giving back to your community. And and we also we do this whole activity with 5 and 6 year olds about the pay gap between women and men. And we actually split them into two groups and we just say, you know, you're the red group, you're the blue group. And then we have them do different things like exercises, like you do 10 jumping jacks. And then we have one group 3 pennies and the other group 1 penny or 2 pennies. And at the end, we have them all add up their pennies. And then they're like, wait, why do I have less pennies than that group? Our whole group has less pennies than that group. And we're like, oh, so that we explain it to them. And one year they wrote the governor here. They got so fired up. They're like, we're going to write letters to the governor about how the pay equity gap is a problem and they need to figure it out and fix it. So, yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, if you don't know what you don't know, right? And as a kid, you don't know squat. So having somebody point those things out so that you can decide whether you're going to be bothered by it and do something about it, or if it's something it's like, okay, I can live with that or whatever, but at least you get to make an informed decision on all of that, just knowing, because knowledge is power, let's face it. If we know it, we can do something with it.
100% Awesome. Yeah, the program we do with the right, though, they were so angry. The program that we're doing with our older teens now is an advocacy program where they learn about what advocacy is. And then they get to kind of vote and pick on a subject that they, like an issue in our community that they care about. Mm-hmm. And then they learn about what power is that you have, what power do they have, who has power over that situation, who has power with them. And then they go out into the community and they try to make change about that issue. So it's really cool. Mm-hmm. This year they picked, last year was all about equity and sexual violence against girls and women. This year they picked the destigmatization of the unhoused population. So they really wanted to focus on how that population is really targeted with bad stigma and bad rhetoric about them. And a lot of it has to do with mental health. So really trying to promote to that support of that population. Which is, I think, like, kind of took me off guard as a leader because I did not expect that to come from 14, 15, 16 year olds. So, but we support them and want them to make the change in the world that they want to see. So,
Kim, how many girls do you normally have in the program at one time?
Yeah, so we do programs at our center, which our center right now is located near the plaza. It's an old historic building. Mm-hmm. So at one point in time, we can have about 80 to 85 girls at that center. It fills up, our programs fill up in about 3 minutes. And so we are working on a project ahead. And so for about the last 10 years, the majority of the girls that we serve are part of the public schools. And so we bring our programs in as part of the school day, meet with the same group of kids for the whole school year. So it's sustained exposure. It's not just one time. Just recently, I was doing a tour with folks and we were talking to a group of 11, 12 year olds. And I swear they've all been with us since they're 5 or 6 years old. And they're like, we've been here for 7 years. We've been here for 6 years, which is pretty remarkable.
Wow.
Throughout the year, we serve about 1,300 girls in all of our different programs. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And now that was going to be my next question. Like, what's the average length of time that girls participate in the program?
Yeah, I would say the school-based programs, it's usually 3 to 4 years. So we kind of age with them and then we'll go from elementary to middle school and then middle school to high school. I would say at the center, it's about 5 to 7 years that they stay with us, which is fabulous because you can make such an impact in, you know, they keep coming back because they have good friendships. They know that mm-hmm. they can explore who they are. They're not going to be judged for who they are. Like,
we kind of create a safe space, right?
Yeah. And then they get to go through these like milestones in their life, like going into middle school and transitioning through puberty and all those hard moments with a group of peers that they can trust and they can count on, as well a group of adults. And I have a 12-year-old going on 30, and she, I'm not kidding. And she, it's definitely, I'm happy that she has that community. She goes to Girls Inc. And when they hit this age, they just care less about what their family says and more about what their peers and other mentors say. So
My mom got really stupid at about the age of 14. Like, right, she was dumb as dirt until I got to about 23, and then it was like, oh my god, she's brilliant, right? But yeah, there was that period of time where, and I've often said, Pam's heard me say this before, that, you know, God gave me boys because he knew I couldn't stand myself at 15.
Okay, so he, my daughter already thinks I'm stupid sometimes, so you're saying it's gonna go downhill for a little while before
Yeah, but then let me tell you, when it clued in for me, I was making pasta and I managed to the top fell off the shaker into the sauce, and I was completely freaked out. And I called my mom. I'm in tears. I'm trying to impress my boyfriend, you know, the whole bit. And she was like, oh, cut up a potato, throw it in there. It'll absorb this extra salt. And I was like, oh my God, she's a witch. This is amazing. How do you know this, right? Like,
she's a witch.
And then it was like, literally, it was like an, she had all of this knowledge that I had been, you know, ignoring for all these years, because, you know, oh, mom, what do you know? Yeah, like, I'm teenager,
right? You know, teenage years.
So hang on, mom.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say is hang on. It does happen where they suddenly go, oh.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, for sure.
So, but it's great. But having that safe space, because like middle school is.
We had a girl that spoke at a big event we had about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And she's 12 and she's going to middle school next year. And she got up on stage and spoke without notes. She was like, had been in our program, has been in our program since age five. And she talked about how she's going to, even though all the stigma in the world says go into middle school is hard, she's going to go into it with a positive attitude because she has her Girls Inc. friends and community that she knows she can count on even when it's hard. And I was just like, that was like her own words that she came up with, which was just like so lovely to hear her talk about it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And then also just to have the awareness that they know it's hard, right? Like they know at age 12 that there's a stigma of it, that it's hard.
I mean, it's a change. It's a big change. Mm-hmm. And so is it free to the girls that are that want to participate in the program?
Yeah. So the programs at the school right now, at the schools, that, you know, each week we serve about 450 girls, mm-hmm. And serve them throughout the year. That's provided for free, and we use community funds to support that. Mm-hmm. And then at the center, about 97-98% of our girls are on some form of scholarship. So it's on a sliding scale based on income.
Got it.
And then we don't turn anybody away if they can't afford what their slotted mm-hmm. bracket is. And so they just ask for a scholarship and give it to them. So to be honest, we don't turn anybody away. And so our goal is to raise as much funds to provide programs to as many kids as possible. So it's good.
Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of young people that, you know, summer camp, they pay $10 a week, $50 a week sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Do you have any exciting programs coming up? Like things
this
summer you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit about, we have our summer camp program that's going this summer. So that's a big push for us. We have about 30 teens participating in this outdoor adventure program where they'll go hiking and ropes course and rock climbing. It ends with a 3-day camping trip. Most of these kids have never been out into the wilderness, have never hiked or camped. I think last year, the year before, we did rafting, which was quite the adventure for them. So that's really exciting. Of course, the younger kids are also doing all their social emotional learning, but also how to be a good friend and just having fun learning. And so we do an 8-week camp this summer. We are full, unfortunately, but we actually have a facilities project on the horizon. That's where I've been spending a lot of my time. We know that providing healthy programming for young people is more important now than ever. And the schools are stretched and don't have the capacity to be that support system and academics at the same time. Right. And so, you know, the parents kind of describe getting into our programs like Taylor Swift tickets. Like they just, it's almost impossible to get in. And that's partially because we only have limited space, but we kids come back year after year. So then they get priority as far as registration. And so, yeah, we have a facilities project. We purchased a property about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working with the city and the processes, and we're trying to raise a lot of money to put this campus together for young people and design it in a way that's youth-led and youth-designed. So I feel like that is really important in this moment for young people to have place and space to be with one another. So that's a big project we have going on in this moment. So yeah, this week, I don't know when you guys are airing this, but this weekend we're having a big sale over at the Women's Club in Santa Fe. So if anybody's interested in going to a designer yard sale, it's all really incredible stuff. So
I'm on your website. I'm gonna put it up right now. girlsincofsantafe.org.
Yes.
That's harder than you think to type in. and it's got, you have an event section there, and I'm looking at all that kind of stuff. I have a quick question though. Like,
sure.
Your leaders and the people that work with you, all female, male and female?
Right now they're all female. That varies. Okay. Also folks that are non-binary and identify as differently. It really varies. We feel like, men or folks that identify differently are really welcome. We're actually still hiring for about 2 positions for this summer. And we love it. I think last year we had 2 men that were, leading our groups. The year before we had 2 or 3. Because they are really good role models for young girls when they have the right attitude that they want young girls to be empowered. So, we very much welcome women, men to join our team.
Listening to you in this conversation is so inspiring. Hope for the future, knowing what you're, you know, how the girls are coming out of your program.
Yeah, you know, I think they are what gives me hope. I think that, I don't know, the world's really hard right now. I think it's really hard for adults. I think it's really hard for families, a community. And young people are seeing all that. That same young girl that spoke, she also talked about like global climate change and how her generation is going to be the generation that has to navigate that. And they are all really aware. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we did an event that was called the State of the Youth, and we invited adults to come listen to a panel of youth talk about the issues they care about. Awesome. And really hear from them firsthand. And I think that young people are very aware of what's happening, and they want to seek change, where I think there's definitely like a generation around my generation that's a little more aloof about policy change, about the world can be different, and probably a little more jaded. But these young people are ready to go, and they're ready for adults to get out of their way. I'm kind of ready for adults to act like youth actually have value in our community and deserve support. I will say that we kind of have an attitude as a society that young people don't know things. And I actually think they're smarter than a lot of adults sometimes. So
we discovered very early on when we first started having, I have 2 boys.
Yeah.
How they didn't even seem to be considered people until they were of school age. And so we've worked really hard to to acknowledge the fact that they have their own likes and dislikes. And
yeah,
you know, I've got a kid that at 6 months old was throwing fits because I put red socks on him instead of blue socks. Right. So, I mean, it's hard, you know, it was kind of forced on us to pay attention to the fact that they are very smart, and giving them that autonomy and giving them that authority of their own mind has, I mean, it bites you in the ass, let me tell you, because it took us a year to pick out a couch.
Yeah.
Because everybody had to be on board with the couch, but
they
know what they want. They really do. They know what they want. They know what they like. They know what their interests are. And to have somebody say, hey, that's valuable, and I'm listening and letting you have that is, that's like such a huge thing going out into the world as a grown up.
Yeah. I mean, we teach the girls and how, and each actually like train our staff and over about 120 hours a year. And part of that is teaching them that girls are already strong, smart, and bold. Just the world puts them in a box to not be that way. People don't treat them that way at school and in the rest of their life. And so we show up and treat them like they're capable and teach them what natural consequences are and how to take responsibility for their actions and how to be a good friend and what's not a good friend and how to navigate conflict. And then they go out in the world and they can do those things. And I would say the one thing that we deal with a lot is them being frustrated that more adults don't treat them that way. And them being frustrated that they don't have more peers that come at the world with the same attitude, that they can kind of take on challenges and be resilient. And even a lot of our graduates that go on to college, they come back and say, I'm the one that's helping all of my friends navigate their relationships and friendships because you all taught me these skills of mediation and these skills of how to be a good friend and how to apologize. Like, we teach them how to apologize and accept an apology and what's the right way to do that. And so, so there's a lot of things they learn. It's just the world hasn't, they're ready for the world, but the world's not necessarily ready for them. So I'm ready for them to be old enough to change more of the world.
Right. Make a change in the world, right?
Yeah. The knowing knowing what a good friend is and being a good friend is like, that is so amazingly, that's definitely a skill I could have used in middle school instead of, I'll be your friend.
Your friendships in elementary and middle school set you up for your partner relationships, like how you interact in that age and what you accept and what you don't accept. That sets you up for the rest of your life on what kind of relationships you will have as adults. And so for them to have space to practice that and to learn from mistakes, like we take every moment as a learning moment and to learn from mistakes in a safe place that you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be judged for that is pretty remarkable. So
that is. And now this episode won't air for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But we can do a special post for you to promote your event this weekend.
Awesome. That would be great.
My last question is, how can our listeners support your mission? How can they support the work you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of ways to support. And I think, you know, as a nonprofit executive, I would be remiss if I just didn't say we, of course, always need funding. But I don't really want to spend time on that. I think as adults, the adults in this, in our community can really help by asking more young people what they think, what they believe in, treating them with kindness and respect, identifying if they think a young person is struggling and trying to connect them to resources, and really try to pay attention to the young people around them. And that's kind of how we can change the world. We, of course, always need volunteers, people. We do monthly tours, so come and learn more about what we do at a monthly tour. You can find that information on our website and sign up. But spread the word about what we're doing and learn more. And it kind of takes a village and a community to come together to raise young people in this moment. And the more that you can do that as an individual doing that, but also as part of a community, I think that's really important. So,
Well said.
Right. Yeah. Well said. And for those of you that are listening and cannot see the screen, it is Girls Inc. of Santa Fe.org. Yeah. And so if you want more information, you can go to their website and reach out to them. The website is really great and informative.
There's a donate button.
There's a donate button.
Thank you for that plug. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being a guest.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. And if you guys want to come to a tour, I'd love to have you to come learn more about what we're doing. It would be great to share. So
thank you.
And thank you for all the work that you guys do in community. I think it's remarkable. So
thank you. You're very welcome. We're honored to be here. Yeah, thank you. And thanks all our listeners. Thanks to AutoVita for being a sponsor of this podcast. And everybody, keep listening to these programs. Thank you so much for your support.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.